I'm Adam.
And I'm Joe.
What? Do I not look fun enough?
You look plenty fun. Can we start the podcast now?
Fine, we're the Maladjusted Misfits.
And this is the one where we talk about friends. Hi.
Hello.
How are you?
Me?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm fine.
Good. We had an exciting week. We started off with the eclipse.
The eclipse, yeah, yes. Yeah,
that was fun. I don't know what I was expecting, but it was really cool.
It was fun to look at.
Yeah. And we were in the path of totality.
Yes.
But we didn't have to go anywhere. We just went to our backyard.
That's right. And we were right in the path of totality.
Right. And so it was kind of cool that, you know, we just walked outside and saw the eclipse.
And all the birds shut up for a few minutes.
And all of our outside spotlights came on. That was weird. So, besides the eclipse, we have something else exciting that's happening this week. We have a guest.
Do we?
We do. I met Jesse C. online on our Facebook page, and she started communicating with me. I liked a story about her going to the...
To the Friends Experience.
Yes, to the Friends Experience. And she took a party bus. And so we started talking back and forth. And she said she would love to be a guest. And I said, well, if we can figure it out, we'll have you on. Well, we figured it out. The first question I asked her is when she started watching Friends and why does she still watch Friends?
So okay.
Here's her answer.
All right.
I started watching Friends back in 1994 when it first aired. I even had a series finale party at my house as well when it finished in 2004. And I still watch it because I have it on every night before I go to sleep.
So she started watching in 94. We didn't quite start in 94.
No.
And we watched the finale by ourselves.
Right. We don't watch it when we go to... I used to try and watch it when we go to bed. But I try to read.
Yes. And you can't have that on in the background while you're reading.
Yeah, sometimes they're just too loud.
Yeah.
So. You're just too darn loud.
But I did used to watch it every night before I went to sleep.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right, so the episode we're doing this week...
The one where Ross finds out.
Oh. What's our IMDb plot?
A drunken Rachel calls Ross and reveals her feelings for him on an answering machine. Meanwhile, Monica keeps busy by being Chandler's personal trainer, and Phoebe constantly wonders why her current boyfriend won't sleep with her.
I wanted you to do meanwhile, like in cartoons.
Meanwhile.
All right, our episode director this week is returning Peter Boners.
Peter Boners.
This is the only episode he directed in season 2.
Aww.
You know, he directed a total of 12 over the series. Mm-hmm. He's 85 years old right now.
Aww.
Still going strong. I mentioned before he's an actor, and he was in Parks and Rec, another show that we love.
Yes.
Yeah.
He shows up in a Friends episode, too. Do you remember which one?
I do remember which one.
We're not going to tell you. No, we'll surprise you later.
It'll be a surprise.
Dorks.
If you know who he is in the later episode, write in and tell us. We might include that.
Yeah.
Our episode writer is a new writer this week. It's Michael Borkow.
Wow.
Yeah. He wrote 7 episodes total over seasons 2, 3, and 4. And he also wrote episodes for Malcolm in the Middle and Joey, the TV show with Matt LeBlanc.
Hmm. See, now that's surprising to me because I feel like this show.
Yeah.
Is particularly well written. not that they all aren't. But this show has a lot of good lines in it.
Yeah, yeah. So when was our original air date?
The original air date was November 9th, 1995. So that week in theaters, the number one movie was Ace Ventura, When Nature Calls.
Yeah.
I think I'm done. I don't want to talk about it any more than I have to.
You're not going to make me watch it, right?
No.
Okay. All right. So are you ready for some trivia?
Yes, I am ready.
Oh, good. Because my notebook just scrolled and I have to find it. Hold on. All right. So trivia this week. This is the first time Gunther has a name.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, they don't say his name any other episode. This is the first one.
Oh, no.
So he wasn't named, and Rachel says goodnight to him.
Goodnight, Gunther.
That's right. The producers wanted to use U2's With or Without You, the song, but they didn't get the rights in time before this episode aired.
Oh.
So they used a studio band that had a similar style for this episode. And then by the time the next episode rolled around, they were had the rights and they could use the actual song later. So, the restaurant Michael and Rachel go to is called The Saloon.
Yes. I made a note of that.
Okay. It isn't spoken, but the exterior is shown as like a little transition shot. And this was a real restaurant, and it closed in 2019.
Oh. Yeah. A COVID casualty.
Yep. And then during the 2008 Primetime Emmy Awards, the Academy of Television Arts and Sciences honored TV's most memorable moments determined by an online vote. And the kiss between Ross and Rachel was rated number one.
Oh, my goodness. Most memorable moments.
I thought that was pretty cool.
Number one.
That's right.
Aw. It was very cute. Again, I don't mind Ross and Rachel.
Yeah.
But we get annoyed by Ross and Rachel sometimes.
Yeah.
But it was very cute. This episode's very good.
It is. So what are your episode reactions?
Like I said, this is a great one. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's so many good lines in this one and tons of funny moments. Schwimmer and Aniston get some big moments that have some fun with in this episode. Mm-hmm. Perry and Cox are terrific. And even LeBlanc and Kudrow, who don't get a lot to do, I still think nail their performances in this.
Yeah, Joey's really good in this.
And just great writing from performances. Top tier episode. I love this one.
Aw, of course I love this episode. It is so funny. Every scene with Monica and Chandler cracks me up. Their acting is superb. And Aniston in the scenes with Michael, really, really funny stuff. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, the big ending. It's well written, well acted. And well directed. It's
yes,
great.
Yeah. It is.
And Jessie sent in a recording of her thoughts on the episode. So we'll listen to what she had to say.
All right, Jessie.
There's just so many funny moments in this episode, from the whole naming the cat Michael to when she jumps on Ross's back when he's listening to her voicemail. It does kind of bother me that anytime Ross is with someone, then Rachel wants to be with him. Otherwise, it's just like not a thought in her head.
It's true. We've mentioned that before.
Yeah, we mentioned that before. Like, Rachel does have a problem with, hey, wait a minute, Ross is happy? We'll see about that.
I gotta throw a monkey wrench into that. Can't be done. Favorite line. There were so many. I mean, we wrote down so many.
Yes.
We talked about so many. Yes. We've changed it multiple times. But yes. I'm gonna go with when Ross and Rachel are talking after he listens to her message, and Rachel says that Chandler told her that Ross liked her. And he goes, when did he? And if you notice, he says a lot of things in threes.
Yes.
So throughout the episode, he says, Julie, Julie, Julie. Yeah. So what was yours?
My favorite line, like you, I kind of went back and forth between a few.
Yeah.
But I ended up with what I think is the most Adam favorite line.
I would agree.
Okay, just show me one of them. When he's doing the sit-ups. Monica offers to flash him.
Yep.
If he does 5 more sit-ups and he does 2.5 and then just asks to see one.
Well, that equals one, don't you think?
Yeah, I think so.
So Jessie also had a favorite line, so let's hear what she had to say.
Okay.
My favorite line is when she's using the neighbor's phone at dinner and says, and that, my friend, is what they call closure.
Closure.
Yes, closure. I like how she acted it out. That was pretty cool.
Yes.
You can't say it without that inflection.
You have to say it like Rachel.
That's right.
And that was one of my picks And Jesse stole it. Thank you.
It's okay. There was a lot of good lines.
This is the week to steal one because right. There's plenty of leftovers to choose from.
Favorite moment was pretty much the same thing. So many funny moments. But I went with the one where Chan comes out in his little stretchy shorts. Mm-hmm. And she goes, just never seen your little stretchy shorts. And he goes back inside to change.
Yeah. My favorite moment is something that Jesse mentioned in one of her previous clips, is when Rachel jumps on Ross's back. Yeah. I mean, I think that is one of the best moments of comedy in the series. Just that I have to get off the phone away from you right now. But it's already too late.
Right.
Because you can see by the time she lands on him, he already has heard.
That she's over him. Yeah. It's too funny. All right. So Jesse had a favorite moment too. So let's hear what she had to say.
My favorite moment obviously is the end with the whole big kiss scene and her. She can't even get the door unlocked. But yeah, obviously that is like the big Ross and Rachel moments.
Yep, that is the moment of the episode. Right,
the number one most memorable moment of TV history, apparently.
That's right. Good job, Jesse.
Nailed it.
Favorite outfits. There wasn't a lot. I mean, Chandler and Monica were in workout gear. You didn't see a lot of Rachel's outfits. She was sitting or...
You know. I mean, her dress at the restaurant looked cute.
Yeah.
But you never really got to see it.
No.
So, like, I was... on the verge of picking that one, but I did not.
And then you were going to pick Ross's sweater as ironic. I don't know if it's the one I picked, but the burgundy sweater at the end with his white t-shirt when he's going with Julie to pick up the cat. I think it looks comfy and cute. And because there weren't great outfits, I'm going to go with that. Because
that's the one where she jumps on him, right?
Yeah. And I would probably throw that on a Sunday morning if it were yours. So.
Oh. So you're picking out as non-ironic.
Non-ironic. Oh. I think it's cute.
Yeah, I was picking it out as ironic because I felt like he looked like a six-year-old in that sweater.
He kind of reacts like a six-year-old. So.
Again, this is another thing where Jesse stole mine, which is fine. You know, we love you, Jesse. No problem. So, and my alternate favorite outfit is Monica's workout gear. I'm going to go specifically with the last scene.
Okay.
When Chandler,
lets her down.
Yeah.
Like, destroys her life in 30 seconds.
Yes.
All right.
But so she looks very cute when he's destroying her life.
She does. So let's hear what Jesse's favorite outfit was.
Okay.
My favorite outfit is actually her pajamas. I love the little crop top sweatshirt and her plaid pajamas and even her, like, those socks that, you know, you used to scrunch down. It's just super comfy, and I love pajamas.
Those are very cute pajamas.
Very cute pajamas.
She looks very cute.
Yes, and everybody loves pajamas.
Right. I think they do. So themes we explored this episode.
Mm-hmm.
Theme number one, bear with me. Wishing you were as fat as you thought you were 30 years ago.
Right. Yeah, Chandler does not look...
No.
Quote unquote fat.
Not at all. It was like shocking that they even had that in there.
Yeah. Theme two, working out with friends.
That's right. Theme three, getting closure. And there's a double meaning in this episode.
And theme four, cat.
That was also one of your favorite moments too, when he just looks at her and goes, cat.
Yeah. Well, I like the look. I almost chose that as my favorite moment because the look he has on his face.
Uh-huh.
I mean, I talk about it when we get there, but he just looks...
so torn.
Yeah. Like his brain has ceased to function.
All right. We're going to take a quick break before we break down the episode.
All right.
Okay. Machine. Just waiting for the beep.
Good.
Ross, hi, it's Rachel. I'm just calling to say that, everything's fine. And I'm really happy for you and your cat. Who, by the way, I think you should name Michael.
Oh, for fuck's sake.
And you know, you see there, I'm thinking of names, so obviously I'm over you. I am over you. And that, my friend, is what they call closure.
My phone! We are back.
So we open the cold open. Monica and Rachel's, all six of our friends are there, and Chandler bursts into the apartment. Okay, What is it about me? Do I not look fun enough? Is there something repellent about me?
I like that Chandler asks, do I not look fun enough? I don't think I've ever rated strangers based on a sliding scale of how fun they look. But I'm going to start.
That could be a lot of fun. That person does not look fun.
Nope, not fun, not fun. Ooh, they look fun.
So Ross asks how the party was. Read the room, Ross. I mean, my God, he just said he. Right. Anyway, Chandler says, a woman literally passed through him. He asks if he's hideously unattractive. I mean, he's adorable, but that baggy sweater pant combo's got to go.
He does not look. I think they put an extra layer on him to make him look a little heavier.
Yeah, but
because you know he's as skinny as a rail. Right.
So Phoebe assures him he's very attractive, and she feels the same way when she's put on a little weight. And Chandler is shocked.
Shocked. I'd be shocked by the shirt that Phoebe has on.
Oh, yeah?
Because it looks like a colorblind test or something.
I saw a six in there.
Yeah. I don't know. It's a horrible, horrible shirt.
So then Chandler asks the room if he's put on a little weight. And they all scatter like it's Chandler from season six and not season two. I know that was mean, but I had to point out the difference.
Right.
There's a huge difference between season two Chandler and season six Chandler.
Right. Like this episode, he looks like regular Gandhi instead of Hunger Fast Gandhi.
So Phoebe says it's not weight, it's insulation. Then Monica offers to remake him because she's unemployed and needs something to do.
No.
And Chandler says he would do that, but that would get in the way of his lying around time. Which reminds me of when I would always cry about not being able to have time to work out.
Right.
And you would always say, Joe, I love you, but you have time. You just choose to watch Friends.
Yes.
Those were your exact words. And it was a reality check. I still watched Friends. Yeah. So she begs and he relents, but he says if he puts on spandex and his boobs are bigger than hers, he's going home.
Oh.
Which was also almost one of my favorite lines.
Again, we're going to say that a lot.
I know. And Phoebe says his boobs are fine and offers to console him with a hug, but teases him that she can't make her hands meet.
Oh, can't reach around you.
Which is mean.
Well, Phoebe's mean. I mean, we've established that. Okay, so then we're in the apartment building hallway, and Chandler and Monica. For a second scene in a row, Chandler bounds through a doorway. Monica is waiting in the hall. Both have the workout gear on. Both are kind of bouncy and raring to go. Like, they're doing that, you know, jogger.
Right.
At the corner.
Right.
For the light to change.
I gotta keep my blood up.
Right, but they haven't started yet. So, whatever. Everybody's different. But Chandler's kind of like, let's do it! And he's running in place, but Monica is kind of hesitant. And he sees her hesitation and asks, what?
Nothing. Just never seen you in your stretchy pants before.
He does have on those little tight shorts that make me feel like I'm on display. Call forward. And we're changing, he announces, and bounces back into his apartment as the Village People's Macho Man starts to play. Then we cut to the street where Monica and Chandler are running, and Chandler's sweaty now, so they've been running for like 2 or 3 minutes. I don't know. And Monica's in the lead, and then Chandler hops in a cab and drives off without her. Then we cut to Monica's apartment, and she has Chandler doing sit-ups, and she says, give me five more.
No.
Five more.
No.
Five more, and I'll flash you.
One.
I like her little smile at finding a way to motivate him.
Right.
She's so proud of herself.
Two and a half.
And then Chandler collapses in exhaustion.
Okay, just show me one of them.
And then she makes a grossed out face and smacks him the way you hit me, Joe, when I say gross things.
That's right. which is a lot. Then we go to Central Park. It's Chandler and Joey, and Rachel's working in the background. Ow, 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 ow. Chandler's picking up his cup of coffee. And I love Joey's face at Chandler. But Chan is sore, as you are when you haven't worked out in a while. But Joey takes the cup from him and puts it on the table.
Yeah, I worked out with a trainer once, and that's how I was the next
day. That's right.
I was like, really? I can't move my arms at all now.
A little overkill. Chandler says that Mon is insane. It's before work. It's after work. It's during work. He's doing butt clenches at his desk, and they won't bring me my mail anymore. Which is another line I love.
Yeah. Why is he doing the crunches? Can he just tell her he's doing the crunches?
That's true.
But my eyes went to the guy. There's a guy sitting behind them at Central Perk at the counter, and he has a huge sweater tucked into his jeans. And I was just like, what the what?
That was really funny. You did point it out to me.
I've seen guys in movies from Norway do
right,
that.
Right. Because they don't want the wind to whip up there.
Right.
So on the DVD, there was a cut line. Mm-hmm. And Joey tells him to tell her to stop. And he said, so Chandler goes, but she's unemployed and I'm all she's got. Aww. Which is why we should all pitch in and buy her own restaurant.
That was pretty funny.
It was cute. And the fact that he's keeping it up because she's unemployed and has nothing to do.
Right. I think that adds another layer to the,
exactly.
He's doing it for her more than him.
Right.
Then he gets sick of doing it for
her. So Phoebe enters talking about how Scott won't be there for her. Another callback. Rach asks how it went, and she says, it was nice. Nice restaurant, champagne, nice. Mm-hmm. Joey says, guy still won't put out, huh? Nope, zilch, nothing.
It's like the sweater vest cow.
So they all apologize to her, and she says she doesn't mind taking it slow. He's interesting and sweet, and why won't he give it up?
Maybe he's intimidated by the buttons on your sweater, Phoebe.
That's a grandma sweater if I ever saw one. So Joey offers that maybe he drives his car on the other side of the road, if you know what he means.
No, he's not British.
That was so funny.
Yeah, too. That's a funny line.
So then Joey offers, maybe he's gay. And she says, no, they went dancing. And he held her close and he looked in her eyes and she definitely felt something. And Rachel says, but how much can you tell from a look? And she says, no, I felt it on my hip. Yeah, that's an indication right there. Yeah,
that's a definite sign.
So Monica comes in and bounces a racket after Chandler's head and says, bing, racquetball in 10 minutes.
Aww.
Chandler asks Joey to use his hand to slap Monica. Then Phoebe shouts, oh, Rachel, don't look. And I fucking love Chandler's face. He looks at her like, why the fuck did you point it out?
Right. She wasn't looking that way. Phoebe likes to stir the pot.
But I think I've given that face a couple times in this house. Yeah. But anyhow, it pans over to Ross and Julie, and they're standing out Central Perk, and there was touching.
Aww.
And Rach says, I'm fine. I got a date tonight. Mon set me up. And Joey says, whoa, you have a date? What about, and Rach goes, she's honest for the very first time and says, oh, you mean my whole insane jealousy thing? Well, as much fun as that was, I'm going to opt for sanity.
Yeah, about me being bonkers? I don't want to do that anymore.
Chan asks if she's really okay, and she says, yep, I'm moving on. He can press her up against that window as much as he wants. For all I care, he can throw her through the damn thing.
I think she might prefer him throwing her through the damn thing.
Then Ross and Jules enter asking for Fluffy Meowington's cat toys.
Oh, yes.
Okay, so we've had a lot of cats over the years, right? Mm-hmm. Together, and then you've had cats before we even met.
Mm-hmm.
Have you ever saved your dead cat's toys for another cat?
No. They usually destroy the toys.
Right. Just buy some new toys.
Doctor.
Why does he have to make a big deal about coming over and getting these toys? Anyhow, Rach finds out that they're getting a cat together. Both of you together? And Julie says it will live with Ross half the time and with her half the time.
Aww.
Now, I really like Julie. Mm-hmm. And I thought they were very good together.
Right.
But that would have been the cruelest thing to do to that poor cat. Moving it back and forth. That would have been one anxious cat.
Oh, come on. Ross would have just sat it on his shoulder and rode the subway with it. Held it in his arms while he walked it over to Julie's house. Treated it like a monkey, I'm saying.
So Rach says, oh, that's so lovely. You two will enjoy that for a really, really, really long time. She panics, looks at the time, and says, I gotta go. I got a date with a man. And she tells him to have a nice cat. And she exits with her coat and the tray.
Right.
And then she returns immediately and says, we're not supposed to take these with us. And sets it on the first table inside the door.
Right. And I like that Rachel immediately flips from, I'm fine, you guys, to, I have to fucking get out of here in like 20 seconds.
The mention of just the word cat.
Yeah. We're getting a pet. Oh, my God. So now we're at the saloon. Really? Did they go to a rodeo first? So we have Ari Gross
right.
is Michael. So this dude has been in everything from Minority Report to Criminal Minds. I always recognize him because when I was a kid, he starred in House 2, The Second Story, which I saw way too many times on HBO. And he's one of those guys that I'm like, Ari, good to see you again.
He is a good little actor.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I like to pronounce his name like Hagrid saying Harry. Harry! Harry! So Michael starts off by explaining that he's nervous because this is his first date since his divorce. And Rachel responds with, how long do cats live?
Yeah, you're not off to a good start. Yes.
Sorry, Mikey, you should have held out a little while longer for that first date. But she wants to know the life expectancy of your average cat, barring throwing them under a bus or something. My personal answer to this question would have been, check, please. But Michael tells her 15, 16 years, and she's like, that's great. Seriously, check, please. The waiter hands her wine, and she gulps it. As Michael tries to go cheers.
Oh, yeah, right. Clink.
Rachel slams her drink down, and Michael doesn't drink at all because you don't need spidey sense to know something's up. He says, Monica told you I was cuter than this, didn't she?
Aww.
Poor guy.
I think he's better looking than some of the guys she's gone out with.
This finally pulls her into the present, and she admits that it has nothing to do with him, but a friend of hers is getting a cat with his girlfriend, and he's like, that does sound, The word you're looking for, Michael, is check and please. But Rachel is off in little Rachel land, and she's saying this friend just started going out with her, and Mikey asks if this was an old boyfriend, perchance.
He wishes.
And from the look of him, I think he's finally close to really just saying check, please. But Rachel finally apologizes and says, let's talk about you. And she reaches for her hand and he touches her hand. And it looks like the night might actually turn around. And then Rachel's like, so did you ever get a pet with a girlfriend? It's like, I had two dogs with my wife.
Check, please. Okay, so we're at Central Perk. It's Phoebe and Joey.
Yeah.
And Phoebe says she's figured out why Scott won't sleep with her.
Because she's ugly. She's put on a couple pounds.
Aww. Joey says, why? And she says, because I'm not sexy enough.
Aww.
It could be, really, I think that grandma sweater. Yeah, but anyhow, I kind of think she's subconsciously fishing for a compliment.
Yeah.
You know? You don't tell people you're ugly or you're fat unless you want someone to go, you're not ugly, you're not fat.
Yeah, it's not very subconscious, right. I don't think.
So Joey says she's crazy. And he says he told Chandler that when he met her, he said, excellent butt. Great rap, because everyone knows Joey is an ass man. Call forward.
Oh.
She says that is sweet. She's officially offended, but it's sweet.
Yeah.
And Joey, being the wise soothsayer, says, just ask him.
Right. If you use your words, he might answer.
That's right. And she agrees, hugs him, and tells him he is so yum.
No.
And then it pans to the window of Central Perk. And Monica and Chan are still jogging. And he stops. And she pushes him to do more. And they do that play fight with each other.
Yes.
And he pushes back. And then she shoves him. And he falls over. And then gets up and follows her as she takes off. Yeah.
And again, I like the look on Chandler's face when he gets back up.
Yes.
Again, almost a favorite moment. Because he's just...
I've seen that look on your face once or twice. I don't think I've knocked you over because I can't, but I've done something to get that look. We got back to the saloon. It's Rachel and Michael. So back to the restaurant, Rach polishes off the bottle of wine and tosses it in the bucket and asks why they cannot get one of those bugs. You know, one of those fruit flies. It lives for like a day. What are they called?
Fruit flies.
Yes, thank you.
I like that Michael is making a cat or a bunny out of his napkin at this point. He's just like in his lap and he's like, I'm making a pretty kitty.
So then the waiter comes over and asks if they want dessert. No dessert. Check, please. There you go.
He finally said it. And with an attitude. So another thing I really like about this episode is that they could have had Rachel on a horrible date.
Yeah.
You know? And she could have been thinking about how much happier she could have been with Ross.
Right.
You know, like the guy bitching about Ed Begley Jr. But no, they switch it up. They make Michael a super nice and understanding guy.
I know.
And they make Rachel look crazy. And that's amazing. I love that they have the guts to go, let's make our main character, who you're rooting for, look like a nutcase.
So Rach goes, oh, you're not having any fun. And he says, no, he has. But that's only because he's been playing the movie Diner in his head. Ouch.
The quote about the movie Diner may have been one of my favorite lines, too. But I never saw Diner.
No.
So, Joe.
Yeah.
What do you say about watching Diner and doing another mini review next week?
All right.
I mean, it looks better than Weekend at Bernie's. Plus, Michael likes it, and he seems more reliable than Rachel Green, if you know what I mean.
All right, we'll watch it. So she laments that she's ruined her date, and all she can think about is Ross and his cat and his Julie. And there's cut line where Michael offers to get her a piece of pie, and she yells, no, I've ruined it. And then she asks why she cannot just get over him. Michael, although clearly fed up, is just the nicest guy and says, oi, he's been through a divorce and she'll be fine. She just can't see it yet because she hasn't had any closure.
Fucking closure.
Closure. That's it. That's what I need. Closure. He's brilliant and she can achieve that by whatever it takes to finally say, I'm over you. So she looks around, which, you know, I thought was weird because I wouldn't normally think, you know, oh, cell phones, right?
Right.
But she looks around and sees a guy and asks to borrow some guy's cell phone.
Because they're not at the coffee house, so she can't use the coffee house phone.
He offers to pay for the call. And then she goes, you're being a little weird with your phone.
Right.
And then the date just gestures to give it to her and he says, fine. And then there's a really funny cut line where Rach turns back around and goes, I'm so good with people.
And I feel like the redhead with the phone guy is having as bad a date as Michael. And she's just glad to get this douche off the phone for 2 seconds.
Right. So Rach dials Ross's number, which he has no trouble remembering, but can't think of the word fruit fly even after she said it. Although I told you a story that at work the other day, I could not think of the word org chart for the life of me. And you said, it's a work family tree.
Yes.
Now that's all I can think of when I think of org chart, and I laugh at myself every time I have to think about org charts. So thank you for that.
You're welcome.
So anyhow, Rach waits for the beep, says that Ross should name his cat Michael, wishes him well with Julie, and that she is over him. She is over him.
Sounds legit.
Phone in the ice bucket, and Michael begs for the check.
So one more thing about Michael before we say goodbye to him. I think Ari does a good job here, and I think it's easy and fun to come in and be a wacky, off-the-wall character.
Yeah.
You know, like Brooke Shields in a couple episodes.
Oh, yeah.
Later in the season. But to just play a nice guy that's irritated by a main character we all love, that's a tightrope walk. And I think he does great.
Yeah.
Plus, he lets Aniston have all the fun she can have with her being drunk and obsessing over Ross. I just love his little performance. Yeah, I just think it's great.
He came in, like you said before, all the side characters that come in nail their characters. Yeah. They just do such a good job. So.
Yeah. Right. So then we're at Chandler and Joey's place, and it's just Chandler. And Chandler is answering the door in his robe, and he knows that it's Monica, so he's saying, no, 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 no. He does not want to run on Sunday, because it's Sunday. Then he tries to use the ruse of it being religious holiday or something. And Monica's like, you say stop, and we stop. because as a Geller, she thinks that alone will goad him into continuing. But he's a Bing, so he just says, stop! And Monica's like, no, we can't stop! And she's bouncing all over the place, saying, we have 3 more pounds to go! And she's the energy train, and he's on board.
Woo-woo! Woo-woo! Woo-woo!
And then Chandler just shuts the door, shutting her in his own apartment.
Woo!
I don't know. I kind of want to ride that energy train.
Hey! Oh. Then you're going to get that inappropriate slap.
I forget the what Friends Behind the Scenes thing you were watching, mm-hmm. but I remember them saying that Cox and Perry were so cute together in this episode that that's when they started thinking about Chandler and Monica ending up together.
Yeah.
And I can totally see it. I think they're very cute in this episode.
But I saw it all along.
Well, I mean... I think that was just them being comfortable with each other. Yeah. I don't know. But I think this is the episode when they were like, hey, wait a minute.
They're kind of fun. All right. So now we're back at Monica and Rachel's. And it's just Rachel sitting at the table. Mm-hmm. And she is pounding aspirin now.
Right. Not wine. Aspirin.
Ross walks in and asks how her date was. And she says she thinks there was a restaurant, but she knows that there was wine.
I know there was wine.
And Ross asks for the cat toys because Julie is in a cab downstairs. Buy your own cat toys, Ross. Okay, so Rachel's looking at
Dr. Geller.
You can afford it. Rachel's
for
looking
like $4. Come on.
So Rachel's looking at him like trying to remember something, and he's like, why are you looking at me like that? And she says, I think I had a dream about you, but I can't remember. And then she goes, did we talk on the phone last night? Did you call me? And he goes, mm-hmm. No, I was at Julie's. And that's when he says,
I was not calling anybody, if you know what I mean.
Wow, wow. So he says, no, he was at Julie's last night. And then he asks if he can check his messages from Monica or his mom. Oh,
I call him.
So he tells her there's a message from her and then asks who Michael is. And she goes, oh. It all comes rushing back to her. It's on her face. Like, oh, my God.
I like when she pops back into her doorway like, oh, fuck.
So she goes, oh, my God. Oh, my God. And races over to her and tries to get him to stop listening to the message and hang up the phone. So she jumps on his back, takes the phone, throws it in the kitchen sink.
Right. And like I said, her jumping on him and throwing the phone in the sink is all just perfect.
Yeah.
It's just great. And he is stunned and she is panicking. You have him being still and her being frantic. Right. I just love the juxtaposition. The whole thing is just perfect.
It's such a good scene. And he goes, you're over me? When were you under me? And then he goes, Reach, do you? And she confesses to having feelings for him. He goes, you had feelings for me? And she goes, you had feelings for me first. So she yells at him. And then he goes, you know about that? And she said, Chandler told me.
When did he?
When you were in China meeting Julie.
Julie.
Oh, God. I need to lie down.
And Rox is maxed out. This is the most Ross I've ever seen Ross.
I love it. I do love his acting in the scene, his reactions to hearing that she's had feelings, and he's so torn about being with Julie and then finally getting Rachel. So it's like his brain is literally exploding.
Yes.
So he says, now what? Now she's over him, and she asks if he's over her. And the buzzer buzzes, and he says, that's Julie. Julie. Hi, Julie. Julie says she has a cab waiting, and then he says,
I'll be right down. I mean, his read of that line is just perfect.
Yeah, it's so funny.
I'll be right down.
So Rach is shocked that he's leaving in the middle of this argument, and he says he has a cab, a girlfriend, and they're getting a cat.
She's going to come up here if I don't go down there.
And so Rachel says, okay, and he stares at her for a minute and goes, cat!
And the look after he says cat. I mean, this is one of the moments that broke Ross's brain.
Yeah.
I mean, Ross is downright loony in the later seasons because of the cumulative effect of moments like this.
Yeah.
This is right up there with, we were on a break as far as trauma to Ross's psyche. So then we go to Chandler and Joey's, and it's just Joey.
Mm-hmm.
And Joey's on the couch zoning on the TV, which is playing a rabbi, playing an electric guitar. And Phoebe comes in and is wearing her cultural appropriation jacket and asks why he's watching a rabbi playing an electric guitar.
I can't find the remote.
And Phoebe turns off the telly and Joey thanks her. And I hate when you're in that TV trance hypnotic state.
Yeah. Like, you just kind of zoned out.
Yeah. And like, I don't get that much anymore because like you pick what you watch at, what you watch at right. what given time, and you're not just stuck with whatever's on.
Right. Waiting for the next show to come on.
But I used to hate those moments. Phoebe's excited to relay the news that she finally had lunch with Scott today and they finally knocked some boots. She is excited and pleased with herself.
Yay, me!
And Joey asks, how did this happen? And she took Joey's advice and just asked what was going on. And Scott explained that chicks can get all emotional and shit where sex is concerned. So he just wanted to wait until things were more serious betwixt them.
Betwixt.
And she was like, dude, please, sex can just be about two people in the moment. And if he wants to call her after or not, fine, whatevs, dude. And then we talked for a long, 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 long time, and I convinced him. And then Joey Tribbiani. Joey, I lost a shoe at Central Perk and didn't notice until I got home, Tribbiani, looks at Phoebe and says, let me get this straight. He got you to beg to sleep with him. He got you to say he never has to call you again. And he got you thinking this was a great idea. And you fucking fell for it? This man is my God.
I don't think Joey needs any help in that area. But Phoebe's face in the realization of what she just did is so funny. She's like, oh, fuck. Oh. That was a one and done thing, I think. Yeah. So then there's this really cool cut scene on the DVD.
Yes.
So Julie Ross and the lady that plays Mrs. Tedlock from Chandler's office right. are at a shelter, and there's lots of kittens and right. cats.
Mrs. Tedlock is running the shelter.
Right. So Ross says, they're all cute. They're kittens. Let's just wrap one up and get the hell out of here.
Oh, look at the cute little kitties. I know his mind is elsewhere.
And Julie asks if he's okay, and he says, yeah, yeah, yeah. And Julie reassures him that even though it's a big step, she has a feeling they're going to be okay. And both of us went, oh.
Poor Julie. I was like, I don't want to see her get her heart broken.
Do that off screen.
Why is this a scene?
So Ross says yes and hugs her. And he asks Mrs. Tedlock if she has any cats that are really old or incredibly sick. And Julie says, no, I don't want an old or sick cat. And he says, well, we should have discussed this before we came down here. She goes, okay, I've narrowed it down to these two cuties and you have to pick. And he says, I can't choose. Both cats are beautiful and funny and I'd be happy with either cat. And then Julie says, well, let's get both. Oh,
yeah.
He goes, both? I can't have two cats. Joey's the kind of guy that has two cats.
I see what they're doing.
Oh, but that was a really funny scene.
Yeah.
So then we're back at Central Perk. It's mm-hmm. just Rachel. She's closing up. Mm-hmm. She says goodnight to Gunther.
Yes.
Ross comes in. He did not get a cat.
I like how he just slips in.
Right.
Really fast. Like, she's at the door, and then she walks over, and he's just there.
So he did not get a cat.
No. The cat was too normal. In a panic, he bought a capybara, and it's eating his couch right now.
So she says, that's interesting, and his tone gets very angry. He says, it's not interesting. It's very, very not interesting. It's 100% the opposite of interesting.
That's right, because I don't get a cat every day, and nobody cares.
She had no right telling him she had feelings for him. He was doing great with Julie before he found out about her. And she was doing great before she found out about him. She mm-hmm. says, it's not easy to see him with Julie. He tells her she should have said something before he met her, because neither one of them can communicate. She didn't know anything, and she asks why he never told her. He goes, there was never a good time. He only had all year, and they only hung out every night.
Not every
Yeah, I hate that. The kids do this all the time. So you're telling them something or you're yelling at them about something. And if you go on and you mention a blue jacket and then you get all done and you go, now what did I say? And they go, the jacket wasn't blue.
Right.
I was like, ugh. So then Rasa says, there was Italian guys and ex-fiancés and Italian guys.
And poker nights and you lost my monkey.
So Rach goes, wait, there was only one Italian guy.
That happened twice.
He says, I don't need this right now. I'm happy. This ship has sailed.
I never refer to myself as a ship.
Yeah, that was really weird. I wonder if it's foreshadowing when he wears that Navy uniform. Oh. So anyhow, Rach says he's okay with putting away his feelings. And he says he's been doing it since the 9th grade. I'm an expert. Mm-hmm. So she says she doesn't need a stupid ship. And he leaves and she shouts, now I got closure. And she slams the door. Double meaning. And then she locks it. And then she starts to cry. And she sits down on the couch. Mm-hmm. And Ross shows back up at the door. She collects herself and stands and sees him there in the rain.
Yeah. I just want to cut in for one moment here. Mm-hmm. One of the reasons I have a hard time watching sitcoms is I like photography.
Right.
And I like cinematography. Mm-hmm. And usually in a 3-camera setup, they're just trying to get the humor across. And there's not a lot of good cinematography moments, you know, which is why I prefer movies. But I have to hand it to Peter Boners. The shot of Rachel crying on the couch and Ross appearing in the doorway behind her is perfect for this moment.
Yeah, it's absolutely brilliant. So she walks over and tries to let him in, but the door is stuck. Mm-hmm. He offers that she try the bottom one.
And I like that they want to kiss, but it gets drawn out.
Because of the locked because door. Because of the locked door.
They can't, oh, I just want to. Mm.
I do like how they look into each other's eyes while she's trying to open the door. But she finally opens it, both doors, which until now I didn't know there were 2 doors. And the music swells. And they finally kiss.
They finally kiss. And I have to say, it's Mrs. Green is right.
Yep.
Ross starts off the relationship cheating. Once a cheater, always a cheater. So then we're at the stinger. You have anything you want to respond to with that?
No, I'm just going to, you know, let that go.
So then we're at the stinger. Chandler and Joey's, Chandler and Monica. Chandler is in his robe again. Monica's in her little workout attire, and she's stretching, and he tells her that it's 6:30 in the morning, and we're not working out. It's over. And Monica tries to convince him, because there's only one more pound to go. And he says he likes the last pound. And he does give her fair warning. He says, don't make me do anything. I'm going to regret. And she's like, what are you going to do, fat boy? Huh?
Uh-oh.
So her calling him fat boy does motivate Chandler into pulling out a double barrel shotgun blast of reality, and he shoots her right in the face with it. He's like, Monica, you lost your fucking job. You can't find a new one. You can't tell your parents because they would fucking shit a brick. You don't even have a fucking boyfriend to console you. You should wait in bed for death's sweet embrace, you loser.
Oh, he wasn't that harsh.
It's in the subtext. We can act it out during the break, and they can decide for themselves.
Okay.
Anyway, Monica collapses on the couch, and he ballets away to the music of the Camp Granada song for some reason.
I do like his little, okay. When she says she'll sleep for a while.
Yeah.
Oh, and that is the end of the episode.
Cut and print.
So we're going to take another short break. We'll be right back.
We're going to surprise you with this one. We're working. We're moving. We're in the zone. We're grooving.
Okay. I don't mind the last pound, okay? In fact, I kind of like the last pound, okay? So don't make me do anything that I'll regret.
Oh, what are you going to do, fat boy? What?
Nothing. Except tell you that I think it's wonderful how much energy you have.
Well, thanks.
I mean, especially considering how tough it's been for you to find work.
Well, you know, you...
You know, I mean, you can't tell your parents you were fired because they'd be disappointed.
Uh-huh.
And it's not like you have a boyfriend's shoulder to cry on.
Well, no, but...
I mean, if it were me, I think I'd have difficulty just getting out of bed at all.
You know, I try and stay positive.
So, you feel like going for a run?
All right.
Because, you know, you don't have to. If you want, you could just take a nap right here.
Okay. Just for a little while.
Okay.
All right, we're back again.
We're back. So, what did we learn from this episode? I learned not to put Monica in charge of anything. This is the first time somebody's put her in charge of something, right?
Yeah.
And she's in charge a lot later, but I learned my lesson from this episode. And I don't think Joey needed any lessons from Phoebe's boyfriend. He does fine on his own.
Yeah.
And if they thought Chandler was fat, I mean, God. Right.
Well, I learned that when you have a guest on your podcast, they take all the best lines and outfits. I'm a kidder, Jesse. No, I learned not to date Rachel Green while Ross is in a happy relationship with someone else. Right. I learned not to call Chandler fat boy.
Ooh.
And I think Monica would whip me into shape or I'd end up breaking her like Chandler did. I
don't know. So what are your final thoughts?
I wonder if Phoebe ever talked to Scott again. I want to see that scene.
Right.
And I hope poor Michael found some happiness, at the very least, someone who paid some attention to him.
Agreed. I do hope he found someone, and I know I shouldn't have, but I immediately thought, poor Julie.
Yeah, poor Julie. Yeah. I like Julie.
I know. Sweater vest tracker?
Zero.
You're still zero.
I'm sad, so very, very sad. So sad! Thank you. Thank you very much.
Not a race, guys. That's from Scott Pilgrim.
Yes. I was just so sad, and then that little line came to mind.
All right, so it's time for our rating of the episode. Tell us a little bit about that.
Okay, the IMDb rating is 8.9 out of 10, with nearly 7,000 ratings, making it tied for second place with the best rated for the season.
All right, so the review for this episode. Mm-hmm. It's titled "The One Where Monica is Chandler's Personal Trainer." That's what they took away right. from this episode.
They're burying the lead there.
So it's by Taylor Kingston 28, and it was submitted in April 2015. Mm-hmm. I really like this episode. It's funny, and I feel terrible for saying this, but I really like it when Rachel's sad.
Shit.
I hate Ross and Rachel's relationship. When she continuously complains about it, it gets a bit annoying.
Well, agreed, but I'm not happy when she's sad.
No. In this episode, Rachel says she's over Ross, so she's set up on a date by Monica. And at dinner, Rachel gets drunk and calls Ross. She gets his answering machine and leaves a terrible drunken message about how she's doing fine. But we all know it's a cry for help.
It is a cry for help.
Meanwhile, Chandler wants to get in shape and Monica volunteers to be his personal trainer. At one point, he doesn't want to work out, so Monica bribes him with her boobs. And she says if he does a certain amount of sit-ups, she'll flash him. Overall, I give this episode a 7 out of 10, which in my ratings book is great. Oh. So he just talked about the boobs and yeah. Rachel, and that was it. Yeah. All right, what are we doing next week?
The one with the list.
Ooh.
Monica works with Michael McKeon and tries to make Thanksgiving the mocklet holiday. Chandler and Joey talk Ross into making a pro-cons list between Julie and Rachel, and it helps Ross make a thought-out, well-informed decision. Just kidding. It does the reverse of helping.
All right. Are you ready for some maladjusted content? So we already told you we watched The Eclipse this week.
Yes.
But on TV, we've been watching a little robot chicken.
A little robot chicken. You never saw Robot Chicken, so no. I kind of surprised you with that one.
They're pretty You're like, funny.
What is this?
And then you love to watch the group Red Letter Media.
Yeah.
And they do a YouTube video of, it's called Best of the Worst.
Right. The Red Letter Media is a YouTube channel.
Yes.
And they do, one of their shows they do is Best of the Worst, and they watch, they'll pick three crappy movies,
yes,
or they'll spin a wheel and just pick stuff that was sent into them, or and they watch a lot of really bad movies,
yes,
and a lot of times they're miserable and it's very funny.
Yeah, and sometimes they get a little drunk because they're drinking while they're talking about the movies,
so yeah,
it gets pretty funny. And then we watched Please Don't Destroy, which is a Saturday Night Live group that says does skits, but they had a movie, and it's called The Treasure of Foggy Mountain.
The Treasure of Foggy Mountain.
And it didn't do very well on Rotten Tomatoes, but we've watched it multiple times, and every time we crack up.
Yeah, I think it's terribly, terribly funny. I mean, they're super fast with their jokes, which I think might turn some people off, because, I mean, they are really fast with the jokes.
Yeah.
But I think, I mean, it has me laughing all the way through it, every single time I've watched it.
Yeah. It is funny.
They're great. They make fun of themselves a lot.
Yes.
And they make fun of, you know, the, but it's great.
I would watch it again and again and again and again.
So Joe endorses it. And I think she endorses it for Friends fans.
Yeah, I think you might like it. I think it's funny.
Again, some people might be irritated by the humor. I'm just guessing that because of the Rotten Tomatoes score.
Right.
Because it did get kind of a lower score. But I think comedies are like that, though.
Yeah, but I didn't know them until this.
No.
I had no idea who they were. We don't watch Saturday Night Live on a regular basis or anything, so I had no idea who they were. So it's just these three guys that are friends, and they're just so funny.
Yeah.
So take a glance at that. Watch Scott Pilgrim, pull up some Robot Chicken, and check out Red Letter Media, because they're kind of funny, too.
Yeah.
All right. Until next week, thank you, Jesse C., for being our first guest.
Thank you, Jesse.
It was a lot of fun talking to you. It was a lot of fun adding your stuff into the episode.
Yes.
So
we appreciate it quite a bit.
Reach out, and if you guys would like your thoughts or reactions regarding future episodes to be shared with the rest of the class, or you just want to reach out and say hey.
Come on, we'd like to hear from more of you misfits out there.
You can email us at themaladjustedmisfits@gmail.com. Rate us and leave positive comments.
And if you have a positive comment, try and leave it in a negative way.
No,
or
strike that, reverse it.
Yeah, the reverse of that thing.
Check us out on Facebook and Instagram. You can follow the links in the show notes. The pages are called The One Where We Talk About Friends.
Joe, you ready for a cup of coffee?
Always. Okay, you're being a little weird about your phone.